And welcome to episode 8 of the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. We have got a real treat for you in episode 8. A very, very special friend of mine and soon to be a friend of the program, I know. If you're a sports fan in town, a Marlins fan, a Heat fan, maybe a fan of the FIU Panthers or a couple of other colleges in town, you definitely know his voice. If you're a fan of beautiful, wonderful music and great club mixing, you've heard him perform and work. You've probably seen him on television. He has been on national television shows. He's in the Zeus Tech Studios with us today. Welcome to the podcast, my good friend DJ MDOT.
Thank you for having me. And am I the first person in studio?
You are the very first in Zeus Tech Studio guest we have had on the podcast. What do you think about that?
This is an honor. I'm thrilled. I'm excited. This is awesome.
Well, it is great to have you, and I appreciate you sitting down with us. It's funny. When I talk to people, the one thing they always bring up early on in a conversation is, hey, Michael B., what was your motivation? Who motivated you? What motivated you to become a PA announcer? And I think that's a great thing to ask of you. What was and who was that motivation?
My motivation was early on, it was DJ Irie. So what's crazy about this story is I started promoting in the club industry when Irie started DJing in the club industry. So I was the guy that just handed out the flyers. Didn't have really an interest in DJing or MC or anything like that. I was just the guy that handed out flyers because I was a popular kid coming fresh out of high school, going into Miami-Dade. And we got together and he was the fresh-faced DJ, you know, and we were a part of this promotions group and I would see how he would move. And I was like, man, this guy is super cool. So we became really close. We would take trips together. I was the guy that was holding his record crates back then. They weren't laptops. They were record crates.
Vinyl. Real vinyl.
They were real vinyl. And Irie had maybe 20 of them. So it was a way for me and my friends to also kind of hang out with a cool DJ like that. And the clubs that I weren't promoting, it was a way for us to get in free. So we'd walk around carrying his crates to these clubs, and I just saw him, and I was like, man, this is great, and I just took a liking to it. I've always been involved in music by, you know, being a drummer for 13 years, you know, and this was the next step for me.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Irie and I, we all work together,
right?
Specifically with the Miami Heat. We've been together with the Miami Heat for a number of years, and so we've known him. I had a chance, just to go off of that story real quick, I first met DJ Irie before he was known as DJ Irie. And he was known back then as DJ Ian. DJ Ian is when, yeah, I first met him. And one day I ran into him in the production offices at the Heat before a Heat game. And I said, DJ Ian, what are you doing here? And he kind of pulled me off to the side and he said, it's DJ Irie now. And so it's like, okay.
Correction.
It can be whatever you'd like it to be. But it's funny because I met him in a small little club. And so I understand, you know, what you're talking about, these, yeah, the various clubs. You know, speaking of clubs, when you think of a DJ, and again, talking with DJ MDOT, world famous DJ here, a DJ to athletic clubs, professional teams, collegiate teams, a guy you see on television. But when you think of a DJ, in my mind, you think of the guy in that club. This podcast is South Florida-based, so clubs like 11 or Club Live or something like that. But a lot of your notoriety and publicity has been in collegiate and professional sports. What drove you to that kind of unique avenue as a DJ?
Well, I didn't want to be necessarily just labeled as a club DJ. You know, there are so many of them, especially in Miami. There's a couple thousand DJs in Miami. So, again, following a person like Irie around and him being the first DJ in sports, period, I wanted to do something similar to that, you know? So I wanted to make my wave or make my name in sports, whether it be collegiate, whether it be the professional level or something like that, because I knew that was going to open up other avenues for me, maybe expand my brand bigger than just the club scene. So that right there just enticed me to, you know, I want to try to get in with the sports teams and let's figure everything else out after that.
You know, one of the things that is really unique about all of you DJs in this world is the names that you come up with. And you and I have been friends, and I know you weren't born and given the name DJ MDOT. So how did you get that name, DJ MDOT?
Okay, so there's really no elaborate explanation as to how I came up with it. with the exception of if you were to sign your name and you want to abbreviate your first name, it would be M. Biamonte.
Right.
Well, I didn't want to use my last name because that's just not cool, nor did I have any adjectives to put under after it. I'm sorry. So I just put M. And originally I put M dot and then spelled out D-O-T. And that was too confusing. And I was like, well, I got to lose the dot. So let's just do M space and spell out D-O-T. And that was it.
Really? That's simple?
That's simple.
Here I thought it was something all you went through some big PR check. No. And oh, my God.
I wish it was something a lot cooler.
But it's cool and it's stuck, right?
It's stuck. It really did
stick. The problem now is the truth is out on the 2 Minutes Dose Minutos podcast. Now everybody's going to know about it because our listenership is so wide.
And what's interesting, I've never said that publicly. Like I've said it to friends or whatnot, but never over the airwaves or anything like that. So
Breaking news
now. I think we're starting a trend. I'm B-Dot. Yes, there you go, B-Dot. There you go. A-Dot. And A-Dot, yeah.
A-Dot
yeah.
Square.
Yeah, see?
So you can't have it.
No, it's already taken.
Well, we can use a square.
Yeah, that's right.
M. I have to ask you, one of your most famous friends, clients, is Jamie Foxx.
Right.
Tell our listeners how that relationship came to be.
Again, from DJ Irie. Irie is really good friends with Jamie. This was after you guys won the 2006 championship. I started the very next year in 2007. It's when I came on board with the Heat. So you had just won the 2006 championship. Jamie was just coming off of Gold Digger with Kanye. They won a Grammy for that. Yeah. Just coming off of Ray, which was the year before. So he was coming off of an Oscar. We went on our first tour that year and met him through Irie. It was really busy time for Irie because we didn't win the championship yet. It was that 2006 season. It was a really big season, and Irie couldn't sign on board for the entire tour. So he brought me on. We were originally supposed to split the tour. Next thing you know, I think we traded for Shaq or something happened.
Yep.
The team started doing really well. He couldn't take off. I ended up doing the entire tour by myself and just built a nice rapport with Jamie, and we've been down ever since. 13 years in the making. It'll be 13 years next month.
So you've got to have at least – a story you can tell the podcast about Jamie Foxx. I mean, everybody knows Jamie Foxx. Everybody loves Jamie Foxx. You got to give us something.
So interesting enough is I remember I'm a fan of his before. I mean, I'm not just BSing. I was a fan of his before. I would watch his stand-up comedy specials. I would see him at the end of his specials get on the piano and play. So I knew the guy was musically talented. So I remember telling my friends, I'm like, watch, this guy's going to come out with a CD. Watch, he's going to come out with a CD. Comes out with a CD. Next thing you know, I remember I'm at my house. I had just finished the Brooke Hogan tour. That was my first tour I went on, which was amazing. Brooke Hogan, Hulk Hogan's daughter. Hulk was on the tour as well. They're all from Miami. So I formed a really tight bond with Hulk Hogan, who's like my childhood hero. You can imagine. Just came off that tour. The very next day, I get a call to go to L.A. to rehearse for the Jamie Foxx tour. And I'm like, wow. I get on the phone with him. He's like, hey, you know, this is what we're planning on doing. You know, this and that. I'm like, wow. I'm on the phone. I remember having some friends over. I'm like, because I was leaving the very next day. And I'm telling my friends, I'm like, I'm on the phone with Jamie Foxx, guys, you know. And I was super nervous. And get to L.A., we rehearse. And what's interesting, this is such a weird story, is that there's a DJ break in the show. So we're rehearsing for about 2 weeks. There's a DJ break in the show. And he's not on stage. He doesn't, you know, he's not rehearsing. He just wants to see the lighting, the visuals, the dancers, listen to the band or whatnot. And I remember the DJ break. It was my time to go on. I'm nervous. I'm playing some songs. And he's like, cut, cut. And he's like, who's the DJ? And I'm like, you know, I'm shaking at this point. Like, wait, what do you mean? Who's the, like, we just got off the phone. We were on the phone like the day before. Like, what do you mean? Who's the DJ? Where's Irie? I'm like, You gotta be kidding me. And then after that, we just formed a relationship and we've been going ever since. Like I said, man, pretty cool guy.
That's an unbelievable story. And by the way, I noticed in your website, which is djm.com, mm-hmm. you've appeared in many places, the Grammys, talk shows like Ellen DeGeneres, to the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, just to name a few. What has been your most memorable performance and why?
It's been quite a few, honestly. Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to play in front of two presidents, George W. as well as Barack Obama, with Jamie. And the 52nd annual Grammys was just an experience because he was up for a nomination in which he won. That's why we were able to perform. And I just remember, like, I'm on the Grammy stage. I remember tweeting out from the stage, we're about to perform. This is absolutely insane, you know? And looking in the front row, you know, quite a distance away from the stage, but you see Jay-Z, Beyonce, and, you know, some of these mega stars. And I'm like, I am about to perform on the Grammys. And then take it even a step further. I'm like, I don't recall anyone else from Miami, not like a major artist or anything, but performing on the Grammys. Back at the time, I didn't have like the PR for it or whatnot to make it a big deal. But I remember, like, I said to myself, I'm like, I am truly blessed. Like, this is absolutely amazing. This is the Grammys. Like, this is a memorable experience. And that was super cool.
That's amazing. And you talk about moving the masses in your website. What is that experience like? Like, when do you feel it? How do you get there?
It's a rush. When you're in the entertainment industry, you're there to entertain. You're there to perform and do your job to the best of your ability. So if I'm able to touch one person per outing, then I've done a really good job. I'm happy with myself. Now, if I'm able to touch quite a few, then I'm ecstatic. That's awesome. So if you can go home and let's say you went to a Heat game, Alfredo, and you were like, wow, you know, it was a really good time. Like, that DJ made me scream and I didn't want to scream at a pivotal moment in the game. And you had a good time and you went on and told someone that you had a good time and your family had a good time, maybe because I tossed them a T-shirt. That's moving the masses. And that's what I'm in it for. It's not for the fame. It's not for the publicity. It's not for the celebrity clients. It's not for the money or anything like that. It's not so I can say, hey, I know this person or I hang out with that person. I want to touch souls. I still say I'm probably not supposed to be in this industry because this was so last minute for me, but I've made it my industry. I've made a name within the industry. Sure. Yeah. So I look at it like my sole purpose is to touch souls and move the masses. And just so you can go home with an experience like, I had a really good time at that nightclub. Even though I'm not a nightclub person, you know what? Me and my wife had a really good time. That was a really good DJ. And I've done my job.
MDOT, do you have like a signature music mix or music type or style that people say, without even looking, that's DJ MDOT?
No, I think I can basically cater to any type of event. You know, I think I can, I think this is my 14th or 15th year being a full-time DJ. And I think I can cater to basically any type of event, wherever you put me. If you want to put me in a nightclub where it's pop music or a nightclub where it's hip hop, or you want to put me at an older event where I can play some Motown stuff, which Mr. Riley loves, Pat Riley himself, you know, I can fluctuate. I can go either way. And I think I take pride in that because having a musical background, being in band my entire life, studying music has helped me, you know, not just stick to one genre per se. I can kind of move around. And like in my laptop, I have 20,000 songs. Wow. 20,000. I can't remember all that, but I have 20,000. Just so if you were out and you asked me to play a song, I would most likely have it, Alfredo. I'll probably have it.
One last question. People want to get a hold of you. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
On Instagram, it's at DJMDOT. On Twitter is I am DJMDOT. Or my website, www.djmdot.com. Those are the best ways to get a hold of me.
MDOT, I need to ask you this, and we'll go back to the top when we first sat down and talked about how you were motivated, you were inspired by DJ Iree. At this point now, given the success you've had in your career, I'm thinking we're going to play it a little bit forward now, and now you are the inspiration for some young up-and-coming DJs around South Florida and the country. How often are you approached by these young, upcoming kids, I'll call them, that look at you now how you looked at Irie?
Quite often, to be honest with you. Like, as early as the last game, I had two DJs that were sitting directly in front of me. You know, they came up after the game. I'm like, hey, MDOT, can we take a picture? And I take pictures with everyone. I stay maybe about an hour after the game, right in my section. I try to shake everyone's hand. I try to take pictures. You know, people come and say, good job. I pound them up. Thank you, man. Good win. So these two kids approach me, and they ask for a picture. I'm like, yeah, come on. Come in back of the booth. And they're like, we're DJs as well. And my advice was, hey, man, keep it going. You know, don't stop. Keep going. Believe in yourselves. Encourage each other and stick to it for the most part. And luckily, I had people, like you mentioned, not just Irie, but, you know, my internship with DJ Khaled for a year and a half, 2 years at WEDR, which is 99 Jams. I was his board op. He just sat behind the microphone like we're doing right now while producer Brian is doing all the, you know, audio stuff. I did all the audio stuff. So I had people like that that, you know, inspired me as well. People like Khaled. Now, this was Khaled's a personality. Khaled's a really big DJ. But this was before Khaled, who you know him as now. He was a radio guy. He's kind of breaking his way into the producing. Not there yet. He was a club DJ as well as a radio personality, but not the Khaled who you know now, like the global brand. Like, you know, Khaled's on commercials. Khaled's producing platinum records. Khaled has this. Khaled has that. He wasn't there, but he was still DJ Khaled. So that was another guy who inspired me just to keep pushing and keep pushing and go on. And basically, he kind of helped me learn how to DJ at the time because I wasn't a DJ. That was when I was going to day and I was studying communications to, you know, go into radio and television broadcasting. So I've had some pretty cool people that I've looked up to, and I try to pay it forward. Any DJ that may follow me or ask me a question or whatnot, I respond. I let them know how I got into the industry. I get that a lot. Like, how'd you get into the industry? And, you know, what can I do to, you know, kind of follow in your footsteps? And I answer all that stuff because someone helped me out, more than one person. You know, that was quite a few people that helped me out. And I'm willing to do the same.
Well, it's time to help some more. I have a little surprise for Mike. Mike is known for, you know, making, you know, big announcements. So I want to turn the table on him today. I want you to announce his name like if he was in a Heat game.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That's... Announce Michael B's name?
Yeah, your way, you know.
Wait, my way or his way?
Well, do it both, whichever way you like.
Wow, that's good. The microphone may pop on this, okay?
Because it's the end that way.
I'm not sure. All right, let's do it. Let's do it this way. Okay.
That's all he does, right? So I want to surprise you with somebody as popular as you, or even more popular than you, to say your name.
That is a surprise. I'm not, yeah, I'm used to, I'll be honest, MDOT and I work together a lot.
Yes.
And the back and forth generally sounds something like this. And right now, let's check in and say hello to DJ MDOT.
Why, thank you, Michael B. I'm just hanging out right now doing the podcast, the Dos Menudos podcast. That's how it goes. That's usually how it goes.
So to turn the tables on MDOT like this is
well, he never said your name, though.
Right. Well, he says Michael B.
No, I say Michael B. always.
He always says, thank you, Michael B. And so,
yeah.
So that's you going to give it a shot?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot, but I think I'm going to use the mic B because I think I can get a little, I don't know. Let's try this. Now you want me to do it as we're like at a Heat game?
Yeah, like, you know, 6'2" from the
wow.
Oh, the whole intro thing.
Well,
the
whole intro. Wait,
345 pounds.
I don't know the stats, but I'm guessing he's 6'3". Heat Nation coming in at 6'3" out of Miami, Florida. The best PA announcer in all of sports. Make some noise for Michael B.
Wow, that's awesome, MDOT. Hey, that's fantastic.
If you got a day off or something,
isolate that. We're gonna hold that, and that's how I'm gonna walk around life and just have that playing on a loop. But if I was gonna just blow this guy up and make him the biggest star that he is, it would be. And now, stand up and make some noise for DJ. MDOT!
I need that.
Producer Brian, I need a little extra work isolating some sounds for us.
Funny story. Yes, you just did us. That. I hate to interrupt you. D-Wade's camp reached out to me to have Jamie record a video in tribute to Dwayne. So I reached out to Jamie. I showed you this video.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
And Jamie's intro was... mimicking really? Mike B.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that.
By doing that. He was like, and 6 years ago, he was mimicking Mike B. So
That was great. Yeah. MDOT did come over. He says, I gotta show you this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there's Jamie Foxx doing his best Michael B impression of introducing Dwayne Wade. It was pretty cool.
It was amazing.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
MDOT, we'll get you out on this right now. Your MDOT playlist, give us your top 5 hits that are playing on your playlist, current hits right now, 5 through 1. What do you got?
Let's go with 5. Oh, man, that's tough.
Out of 20,000.
Yes, there's like I mentioned, there's 20,000 songs in my laptop, but I'll go with songs that are really popular at games. I'll go with Gay Galore, Major Lazer. That's a really popular song.
That's number 5. Okay.
That can be 5. No, right. No particular order per se, because I think that's a big hit.
You know what? That's fair, because when DJs play songs, they're mixing them around. Right. And everything. So, all right. I'll give you no particular order.
Okay. I'll go with that one. I'll go with let's go with anything from DaBaby, the players like when warming up, or Young Thug, any one of those songs that they like. They kind of like hype them up. It gets them ready to play. Let's go with Make Some Noise, which is a great up-tempo song that I love playing at games because it basically tells you to make some noise, and I can piggyback off of that and let that part play and then insert my, make some noise, which is always a good thing.
We got 2 more.
2 more. Oh, man.
It's a now thing, right? So it's not,
These are now. These are all songs these are songs that are playing now, and I got to think of 2 more. That's tough. Those are really good. I'm kind of stumped now. Like, those are some good ones. I can't think of any more at the moment.
All right, that's all right. When you do, let us know.
I will.
And we'll come back and let our listeners know.
I will.
MDOT, it has been awesome having you on the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. We can't thank you enough, and listening to your stories are just fantastic, and appreciate you being here in the Zeus Tech Studios and taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, producer Brian, Alfredo, and Mike B. You know how I feel about you. You know, I look up to you. You're just the epitome of perfection. You are perfect and a great person to basically look up to, especially being in the same industry. So I definitely appreciate this. And when you asked me, I was like, I have to do it. This is amazing. So love to have you. Love to repay this and have you on whatever I may have coming up.
Well, I guarantee whatever you have coming up, I'll be a part of it.
Let's do it.
Again, thanks so much. And to our listeners out there, thank you so much for listening to episode 8 of 2 Minutes Dos Minutos with our good friend DJ MDOT. Take care, everyone.
Yep.